Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist, and I'll be your host for this Back to Basics series. This is episode 1.12. It's all about the importance of developing your intuition. Now, you'll have to excuse me, I've got a bit of a head cold, and so I might sound a little bit deep and husky, which could be a good thing. Who knows? Anyway, I often get asked why developing your intuition, and I can only reflect back on my time and what it did for me. There are many ways to develop your intuition, but they all come back to the same thing. To develop your intuition, you must get to know the real you. Who you are, what you do, why you do it, where you want to be, and anything else that you can think of about you. This can be a challenging part because often we don't know about what we want and where we want to go and what we want to do. We know what we don't want, but we often don't know what we do want. Now, this was made very clear to me when I went from a family of five to a single woman within 18 months. Now, talk about empty nest syndrome. I didn't know who I really was, what I really wanted, or who I could trust anymore. I wasn't aware that knowing more about me gave me the strength and the guidance I needed to make confident decisions and learn to trust again. Knowing who I was opened up the floodgates to my intuition. So let me explain. I'm sure you can relate to some of this. I was probably about 15 years married. No, wouldn't be that much. It would have been, say, 12 years married. We were living in a seaside community, and that was probably the hardest time in the seaside community. I was very much emotionally abused in this relationship, and I did not know why. I did not understand any of it. The more I tried to get to know me, the more it was deemed not suitable. So I didn't really like how life was going, and so I looked to do something else. And we always talked about going to a farm, and so that's what we focused on. I focused on the farm. And while we were focusing on getting that farm, I remember packing our bags ready to go, and my husband came in and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you know, we're moving." "When are we moving?" "I don't know, but we're moving. We haven't got a place to move to yet." It was sort of 12 months before that actually came around and we actually did move. So I suppose it was my way of saying, this is what I'm doing, you know, and I didn't tell him he had to go. I didn't tell him any rules or anything else. It was like, I want to move. This is what I'm looking at. We actually moved onto the farm. It was a 90-acre organic crop farm. And I have to be honest, I loved every minute of it. It was so good. The marriage wasn't working, but the farm life was just brilliant. The children by that stage were heading more towards their teenage years, going into high school. They weren't quite at high school when we first moved down there. With this relationship, the self-confidence and the self-worth was just getting chipped away at constantly. I constantly did what I could do to make him happy, make him accept me, whatever it was to take. You know, there was just so much there. You'd never felt you did anything right. You always felt like you were walking on eggshells. You always was weary when they came home, what they were going to be like, what was going to happen, where was it going to turn to. You just didn't know. You didn't feel comfortable. You didn't feel confident. I couldn't make decisions when I was on the farm. I mean, I could make decisions about the farm, but I just couldn't. I had to justify everything I did. Everything you did, you had to be justification for. And it just starts to wear you down. You start to really, really wear down. And you get to the stage where you just don't fight it. You just let it happen. I sit back now and I think about some of the times. I can remember sitting in the car with the three kids, all in primary school age at that stage, or just heading to high school. And we'd be sitting in the car for over an hour waiting for him to come out of the pub. The kids would have been at school for the day. We would have been at football training and then sitting there waiting for him to come out of the pub. And I don't know how many times you'd go in and say, "Are you finished? Are you? One more, one more." And it just went on and on. And this wasn't a once off. This was constant, constantly doing it. You're constantly fighting. And I don't mean, I never did a lot of fighting physically, like yelling or arguing. I was constantly fighting myself. And it was so challenging. I'd learned not to trust my thoughts, not to trust me. I learned not to believe anything I felt. And everything was about how he was feeling, what he was doing, where he was going. So life was pretty challenging in those days. But I managed to put aside a bit of money. I started doing a bit of part-time work and getting some money from the farm. And I managed to put some money aside and I started to study life coaching. And one of the things that I found really interesting was that whenever I got stuck into a situation, I got stuck or I had trouble, I could always help a friend out who was going through a very similar thing. Struggled helping myself out, but I could help a friend out. One of the things I learned was if I was going through a situation, how would I help my friend? I would put my best friend in front of me and say to her, you know, knowing that what she was going through and know it was my best friend, but giving her the same scenario that I was going through, I could then give her advice, and in giving her advice, could give myself advice. Does that make sense? Probably not, but you know where I'm coming from. The more I could help, it could help me. So studying life coaching was really good. I loved it. And part of that was learning to meditate. Learning to meditate gave me that space, and I would always do it in the afternoon on the farm. I had a set area in the bedroom where it was my little spot. But learning to meditate gave me that time to learn to get to know me a little bit more, to get to an understanding of who I was, what I liked, what I didn't like, and what was happening over my relationship, over the, you know, the whole situation. So it did give me that space. I was lucky on the farm. I also had a lot of opportunity to have time to myself. So I'd be out there working, physically working in the farm, and it gave me my space. It gave me my time. So I really needed that. I needed that to go with the life coaching, and it gave me that space to absorb, understand some of the questions and some of the things, and then be able to respond to it. With the farm, we had 3 years of drought. We ended up having 3 years of drought and things got pretty tight. We needed to sell the farm. And it was about this time that my daughter left home and she went to move in with her boyfriend. So she was happy doing what she was doing. We prepared to sell the farm. So we tidied it up and got it ready to go. We sold the farm and going to move into a house, and we ended up having to move into this little tiny unit, like a caravan unit, because we didn't have a house. We'd sold the farm but had nowhere to go. So we were in this caravan unit type thing, in, you know, like those units in the caravan parks. We were in there and we had all our gear in storage. And that was then where my son decided that he would go and live with his girlfriend. So he actually moved into his girlfriend's place with her parents, because we just didn't have a lot of space. Then we found a house, we bought that, and we moved into the house. So then there was only myself and my husband and my youngest daughter. So this house was a little country town. It was about the same time my daughter then decided that she wanted to go to university. She was at that age and she decided that she was actually going to move out and go to university. So she had done that. So this is all within a period of like 12 months, with all three kids sort of left home. And they're only a year apart from each other. So I had three kids in 3 years. So they were pretty close to each other, and they did move out at sort of around the same time. I knew once I'd left the farm that I no longer would need my husband. I knew I didn't want him like I used to. I knew leaving the farm I wouldn't need him like I needed him on the farm. And my biggest question was, did I still love him? After what we'd gone through, all I could think of was if I loved him, it shouldn't be conditional. I shouldn't be saying I'd love him if he gave up drinking, because that's called conditional love. And when you love someone, it needs to be unconditional. I need to be able to accept the good with the bad. Now, I accepted that for a long, long time, and I did love him for a long, long time. But when it got to that stage, it was like, no, I can't accept him. And let's be honest, if he stopped drinking after knowing him for 20-odd years, I don't necessarily know whether I would have liked him anyway. I don't know who he was. I didn't know what he was like. I only knew him as a heavy drinker. I didn't know him as anything else. So that's when the relationship ended. And I had been working full time, and I bought him out of the house that we moved into. So it was like 12 months after we moved in, the relationship finished. So it was in this period of time, and within 18 months, I had gone from a family of five, sold a house, lived in this caravan unit for a couple of months, went into another house. All the stresses of that, the three kids ended up leaving home, getting my daughter into uni and getting that sorted, and then the relationship breaking down and completely finishing. So it was a pretty horrendous time. It was pretty out there. It was there that I realised I didn't know who I was. It was then that I realised I had to make all of the decisions. There was decisions to be made. This is just so crazy. The decisions you have to make when you're on your own, you don't realise when you're in a partnership. When you're with somebody and you've got somebody there to throw those decisions around and talk with and chat with, is so different to being on your own and having to make every single decision. And I bought him out of the house, so I had to go through all those decisions about the house, about the loan, paying him out, all that sort of side to it as well. So I can remember going in to the local shopping centre to buy, you know, a week's worth of groceries. I could not think for the life of me what to have for dinner, what meals to have. I went for about a month eating jam sandwiches for dinner because I got to the stage where I just could not make any more decisions. I had to make those really big, important ones, and anything small, I just couldn't do. It was when someone said to me, "What are you having for dinner?" I just stumbled. I could not say it. I just could not think that far ahead of me. And maybe it was a little bit of depression coming in, sneaking in. I don't know. But, oh my God, that was so hard. But as you got used to it, as the months went along, you got used to making those decisions. And yes, you got those ups and downs and everything else. But what I found was the easiest way to make those decisions was to get to know me, to get to understand who I was. All of a sudden, I had all this free time, which after coming from a farm, there was free time. That changed when I started renovating the house and everything. But to start with, you know, it was like there was no one else to think about. Everyone else had gone on their way. What do you want to do? And people would say to me, my best friend, she said to me, "So what are you going to do?" And I had no idea. I absolutely had no idea. I knew I wanted to do something. I had a drive. I had determination. But I didn't know what it was. The biggest thing, again, was to find out who I was and what it was all about. I started to do, I couldn't, when somebody said to me, what do you want to do? And I don't know. I just didn't know. And I get that that's where you would be if somebody said that to you. So how to get through that was understanding what I didn't like or what I did know and moving forward in a different way. So one of the things I sort of went was, well, I don't want to be stuck in a job where I'm going to work for somebody all the time. I want to do my thing. So then we have to drill down on that. Well, what is my thing? What is it that you want to do? Well, I wanted to help other women that were going through what I was going through. I wanted to be able to help them. I've done a life coaching course. I wanted to help some people. I wanted to put that to good use. And so you start to go through these sorts of things and these sorts of understandings, and these little hurdles and hiccups jump up in front of you, and you have to address them. You have to understand why they've triggered something in you. We have to understand how we can move forward. Now, we don't have to understand it perfectly. We don't have to know it all, because that's impossible. But we have to be mindful of it. We have to be aware of it. So with these little hurdles jumped up, and one of the hurdles jumped up was my girlfriend said to me, come on, it's time to go out. And now it was like, I reckon 18 months since the marriage broke down, and I just couldn't go out anywhere, couldn't do anything, just didn't want to know the world at all. And we had a Creedence Clearwater Revival band come in. It wasn't the Creedence, it was one that sang all their songs. I can remember, because I loved Creedence, I remember getting ready to go, getting everything organised, and I had my very first and only panic attack. I understood I was having a panic attack, but I wasn't really sure why. But I still understood why. And I remember phoning her up and telling her, this is how I'm feeling, this is what's going on. And she said to me, what do you want me to do? And I said, I want you to force me to go. I want you to push me to go. Because if I allow this to stop me now, it will stop me in the future. And I can't do that. I don't want that to be in control of my life. So lucky enough, she came around and she said, right, we're getting dressed, we're going. And I had a great night. It was so good. But just walking into that hall, oh dear, I think she had two hands obviously pushing me in, but I did it. I did it. I was aware of what was going on and I addressed it. So this was all about learning about me, learning about who I was, what I wanted, what I didn't want, how I wanted to do it, and what I wanted to look for. And there's ways that you can do this. So I have this little way of doing it. I just call it my 1 to 5. So one is the negative issue. So one is having this negative issue. What's the problem? Okay, say mine was about the panic attack. I didn't want, going out. That's the one. Now we only focus on one because it gets too overwhelming if we've got too many there. So just focus on one thing. Then we look for two positive options. So two positive options could be, well, I just didn't need to go. That's a positive option, because that's going to take away that negative aspect, isn't it? But the other one was, I was going to push through it too. Now, I know that that's sort of a little bit in a negative way, but it gives a positive outcome. So there's two little options there I could look at. Then we have the 5 minutes. So 1, 2, 5. 1, the problem. 2, the positive options, and 5 is a 5-minute visualization or meditation on either of the options. So what I did was, there was the panic attack. So I went, okay, well, I could just not go. And I just sat with that for a while. What does that mean? How's that going to happen? What will that affect? How does that look further on down the track? And I went through those sorts of options. Then the other option was, okay, I can get my girlfriend to help me. She knows me. She probably knows me more than anyone else, and ask her to help me through this. What does that look like? And I went through the visualization or the meditation or the understanding of it. And it looked like, holy shit, hard at first, not pleasant, But the outcome, the long-term outcome on that, means I would have control over any panic attack I ever had in the future because I knew I could do it the first time. So these were the sort of things that we can look at. So if you're having an issue, some sort of an issue, to develop your intuition, help you make those good decisions, look at one, the negative issue, two positive options, and five, 1 to 5, 5 minutes on each area to get an understanding of what that looks like and the option that you're going to take with that. And if it is something that's not, like mine was a panic attack, it was a short-term thing, but could have long-term consequences. It could be something like, my daughter's just hurt her foot, and so she's actually broke her foot, so she's laid up in bed. Now, I have the option, and it's at this stage, if you're listening to the podcast, it's coronavirus time at the moment, and so I can't get down there to visit her. I can't travel down there. That's a negative aspect, that she's going to be there on her own, and I don't know what to do with that. So the two positive options are, well, I just chuck everything and go down there and put up with the 2 weeks isolation and whatever I need to do, rah, rah, rah. Or another positive option, which is what I've come to, is I can make up a nice hand-picked care package for her. So I'm going to call that an intuitive care package, and I'm going to put things in it that mean something to me that may mean something to her. So she knows that I'm thinking about her, and it will give her things to do. I started to go through all that. I went through 5-minute option of going down there. What does that look like? Well, I could lose my job as a sports trainer with the football if I do that. I could lose my job in SeaWorld, you know, my part-time work there. Could I do that? Yeah, I probably could do that. But then I'd be down there for 2 weeks with isolation. Is that helping her? What does it all look like? And these are the sort of things that I had to go through. Then come back, I'd have to be in another 2 weeks isolation. Was that worthwhile? And it didn't turn out as a good option. So I looked at the other one, the care package, and this option became, well, quite exciting. You know, I talked to my partner about it, and he said, well, that sounds like a really nice idea. Maybe you could put them together for other people that are experiencing this sort of a lockdown, and they're going through maybe grief, a loss of a family member, and they want this little care package that's more intuitive, more helpful, and helps them develop and things like that. So yeah, that's what's happened. And in doing the 1, 2, 5, you're starting to get a better understanding of where you're going and what you're doing. If that doesn't work, go for 2 more options. Go for something else. Look at something else or look another way. But it gives you that understanding of not just sticking to one way, the highway, that's it. We look at options. We can look at different options. And you don't have to have 2 positive options. You can have a lot more than that, but that can get a little bit over the top. So try and keep it to 1 problem or 1 negative issue, 2 positive options, and then 5 minutes on each one at least. So that's the hint for today, and that's how you can start, why developing your intuition is so important. It can help you make better decisions. That's why. Because as you start to do these 5-minute visualizations or meditations on the positive options, you start to learn about yourself. You start to get an understanding of what feels good and what doesn't feel good and what you are all about. So the more you know about you, the better you will be, or the more open you will be to your intuition, because you'll see the signs, you'll get the understanding, you'll get the knowledge, you'll get the knowing of it. So that's really, really important when you're developing your intuition. The more you know you, the better you're going to be. Just to wrap it all up, why developing your intuition is so important? To develop your intuition, you must get a clearer or better understanding of who you are, why you are like that, what it is you want, and where it is you would like to go. As you learn more about yourself, you naturally develop your intuition. You automatically understand those intuitive messages that come to you. You know that they're in line with where you're going and what you're doing. So it's like everything falls into place. So that's why developing your intuition is so important. Now, Next week, I want to do this fun exercise in trusting your intuition. And this one's a little bit more hands-on. So when you're listening to it, you're going to have to be doing some other stuff. So if you can, that'd be great fun. Or I might even give you a bit of a hint. It's about flowers. So try and find your favorite flower, an image of your favorite flower, and we can play with that then. When we talk about trust, it can often throw us for a six. It can bring up all sorts of crazy ideas about what trust is and what it means. But more often than not, we refer to trust as something external. So it's like, is that person trustworthy? Or do I trust this swing to hold me up? So often when we look at trust, we look at the external side of it. In next week, in trusting your intuition, it's about trusting the internal. Now, that is the exciting part, and that can be practiced. We can practice this without having to go through the nonsense of whether a relationship needs to be trusted. We can learn to trust ourselves, and then we will get that instant understanding of whether that person can be trusted or that person can't. And a lot of people can be trusted on one thing, but not on another. Okay, so you could trust somebody to do the right thing over here, but they may not be doing the right thing over here in another area. So this little fun example you're going to have next week about trusting your intuition will help you discover the signs and symptoms that your symptoms, signs and symbols that are coming from your intuitive messages. So I hope you won't join me for that one. Now, these podcasts come out every Thursday at 9 a.m. That's Australian Brisbane time. So I put them out then, and you can click on it. I think you can follow. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure on that side of it, so don't quote me on that. But we are all naturally intuitive. It is part of human nature. It's our intuitive nature, and you can quote me on that. I'm Susan Jane, the intuitist, and I thank you so much for listening. Bye for now.